This week on football, Morgan Gibbs-White is furious.
It's just getting ridiculous now. Honest about it, it's getting honestly ridiculous. The amount of decisions that have gone against us is outrageous this season.
Alexis McAllister is calm moments before the biggest penalty of the season. Alfie May entertains the Charlton fans. R9 is subbed on for a Sunday league team.
If you get booked, you know, all right? All right, good lad, nice one. On you go.
Go off to, you've got to go training. See you again.
And I legitimately don't know the rules of football. Hello and welcome everyone to this episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It is me, your host, Alex. And this week coming up, we have got a team of the week. We're going to be doing a fan captured goal, which is at the end of the show. I'll be doing my weekend treble. But first, why don't we talk about probably the most pressing matter in football right now? Who is going to win the Premier League? The question I'll ask you is, who do you think has A, the best manager, B, the best team, and C, the best run of fixtures? I'm looking at the table. You've got Arsenal, 64 points. You've got Liverpool on 64 points, and you've got Man City on 63 points. The goal difference, obviously plus 46 for Arsenal, that takes them way out ahead in a sense. Liverpool plus 39 and Man City plus 35. It may come down to that. It is that close. The massive game at the end of the month is probably what is going to swing it. Arsenal versus Manchester City at the Etihad. If there's a team that can go to Man City and win, it's probably that Arsenal team. If you're asking me, I think the best coached team this season is Arsenal. I think the best defence is Arsenal. And I think, arguably, maybe the best attacking front line has been Arsenal. It's not because necessarily they've got better players, but I think just with City's injuries, obviously De Bruyne and Haaland out for big chunks of the season, and then obviously with Liverpool, Mo Salah, Nunes, he's been hit and miss, sometimes fit, sometimes not, and Luis Diaz, Jota out, they've had some tough injuries. So that is a big factor, whereas Arsenal, Havertz is starting to hit the ground kind of at the right time. I said it a couple of weeks ago. If Havertz really gets going at this stage of the season, 10 games, 15 games to go, could it push Arsenal to a title? I think they've got that. But they've also got Saka, Odegaard having decent seasons, and then obviously Martinelli, players off the bench, Trossard. So I think they have got the all-round best side, the best performing team, and I think Mikel Arteta's coached them the best this season. But the thing that everyone can see is City are just undeniable. They don't go away. They're at you, and if your mentality's not right, then obviously they'll go and win the league, and we saw that last season. Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp is doing an unbelievable job. You've got to give credit to what he's doing there, but I just feel like Liverpool outside of Anfield can be beaten. I feel like Liverpool at Anfield will go unbeaten the rest of the season. I don't think anyone's beaten them there. City can be got at, as Man United showed, and Liverpool showed. Arsenal, I just feel like they're impenetrable sometimes. I know Brentford scored against them, which is a freak goal at the weekend. I just think Arsenal have got it, and that's who I'd be probably looking at personally. Who's going to win the league? I would probably say Arsenal, but it's going to be close, and it's one hell of a title race. Maybe the tightest title race in a long time, and having three teams go for it, it's the only thing as a Man United fan, you've got to go. If you're a United fan, you have to say, I'm taking that Man United hat off and I'm just going to enjoy football. Because you cannot enjoy a Man United season when you're not challenging for a title. So you have to become a lover of the sport again, which you are naturally, which I think fundamentally you should be if you're a football fan. But watching Man City versus Liverpool, watching that City game against Arsenal in a couple of weeks, those are the moments that you can actually enjoy as a neutral, because you're watching some of the best teams in the world fight for a title in the most intense league in the world, and you actually don't have to have all the stress of winning or not winning and who's going to win it. My preference is Arsenal, but I tell you what, it's not a particularly nice position to be in as a United fan. Either Liverpool go and win it and match our title record, City go and beat all records and win it four times in a row, or you know, Arsenal, who, let's be honest, nobody likes, and their fans are unbearable. Do they win it? I don't know. It's not easy, but we'll see. And it's going to be a cracking season. This last probably 4, 5, 6 weeks from, I would say, middle of April is going to be so intense. It's going to be madness. So yeah, we'll look forward to that. I said I'd do my team of the week. My team of the week, as you guys know, I don't pick any players that I haven't seen play live. If I've seen them play the full 90, I can put them in. If I haven't, then I won't. Saves me from giving you just random opinions because I've watched Match of the Day and 5 minutes highlights, which I don't think is what you should do, which I know loads of people do, so I'm trying to be different. Okay, starting off in goal, Andre Onana. At right back, Pedro Porro. Centre back, Gerald Kwanzaa. Alongside him, Johnny Evans. And left back, Destiny Adogie. Central midfield, Alexis McAllister. Alongside him, Wataru Endo. And finishing off that midfield three is James Maddison. Right wing, Nathan Teller. Left wing, Luis Diaz. And the striker is Heung-Min Son. I always hate putting Son in there as a striker, but he's playing there this season. And, you know, that's his position. He's playing unbelievably. One of his better seasons, funnily enough, and it's playing in a completely new position. I think Tottenham, if they hadn't lost Son during that kind of Asia Cup, and if they'd maybe kept Romero on the pitch and Bentancur fit, I think there would have been a chance that they would have been up there challenging for those titles. Son, now he's back, I think that'll see Tottenham through to the top four. I don't think there'll be any problems. United aren't going to challenge. And I think Villa, I think that result at the weekend's put them away as well, at least just mentally, because to get beat 4-0 at home and to... Look, John McGinn got sent off and finished the game, but it was 2-0 and Tottenham were dominating. They're just the better side of the two. Villa's, the season's been unbelievable, and for them to be even just in contention is top draw. But I think the strength of what Ange has built under that, in that Tottenham setup, which had just lost their best player, but they've strengthened in so many areas. Van de Ven, Porro's come through this season, and obviously in midfield, Pat Matasar had a really good game, by the way, at the weekend, and Son playing through the middle was brilliant. I actually really like the signing of Timo Werner. I put him in my team a couple of weeks ago. He did score at the weekend. I nearly put Brennan Johnson in because I think he's had an upturn in form. One of the most wasteful players in the Premier League up until probably about 3 weeks ago. But yeah, I've put Pedro Porro in there at right back because I thought without him, they miss so much. Just attacking threat and pinning the opposition team's fullbacks. You know, Villa like to get forward quite a lot. They like to sit quite high. And Pedro Porro, knowing that they've got that overlap, Kulusevski, quick players, players that aren't afraid to jump out and then come back, really pinned that Villa team back, and they struggled all game with that. Thought he was really important. Gerald Kwanzaa, by the way, 21-year-old, to step up in the game of that magnitude and put that performance in, thought he was brilliant. Him and Van Dijk were great. Johnny Evans, unbelievable. He should not be playing at Man United, but every time he does, as long as it's a low block or we're sitting a little bit deeper, which we did against Everton, she did against City, he has great games because he's a solid defender, decent on the ball, wins everything in the air. He's just an intelligent defender. He's not gonna be a Mickey van der Ven and race back and catch a Haaland or a Nunes or a Salah, but he will sit in, he will defend man for man, and he is really disciplined. So yeah, every time I see Johnny Evans in that sort of low block, usually against better teams, I think he's brilliant. A couple of other players I want to mention. Maddison, back scoring. big moment for Maddison, because he was getting a bit of stick early in that first half against Villa, and they were trying to wind him up. Kept his head, turned up, scored the opening goal, which was massive for him. Nathan Teller, by the way, did anyone know he'd switched to Nigeria? I was gutted, because obviously that season at Burnley, where he was the best player in the Championship, arguably, then he gets his move to Leverkusen, and I think, oh, what a great move for a young English lad. And then I realise he's been called up to Nigeria last year, and he made an appearance for them. So I was a little bit gutted about that, Nathan Teller, but he's doing really well. Yeah, scored again this week, and he's got a few goals now. I think 5 in 14. Hasn't played a lot of games for that Leverkusen side, but in crucial moments like it was this weekend, he's turned up and scored. So massive for him. Massive for Nigeria to nail him down as well. Luis Diaz. I mean, that's probably the most controversial pick in here. A lot of people will go away from that game and think Luis Diaz had a shocker. He had a terrible game. He cost Liverpool the game. I loved his performance. I thought he was brilliant. Just that one, I mean, the one clip that you'll rewatch over and over again of him doing Rodri and Carl Walker down that left-hand side, turning them inside out and getting a cross away. I thought, unbelievable. And yes, he did miss a big chance, a couple of big chances, and maybe you should have done better. But as a constant threat, that City team, normally so dominant, they could not sit back. They couldn't rest. For the first time, I think, all season, and maybe for about, I think maybe 2 or 3 years, I saw that City team wobble. And they wobbled on the ball, which they never do. They are so composed normally. But ball was coming into feet of John Stones, Rodri, Foden, and they were just hoofing it away. And then the Liverpool attack was straight back on them. Really impressive from Liverpool, but City made to look pretty average at the back. And I think with City, if you can get at them, if you can get at them and worry them and just knock their confidence a bit, which Liverpool did, then you can get at them and you can worry them and you can score. I think if Luis Diaz has scored those goals at those crucial times, it would have been massive for them. I was having a conversation with one of my friends, Brandon, who goes to Liverpool and was at the game. And he was saying about the Kevin De Bruyne substitution. And I think probably a lot of Liverpool fans in the stadium were glad to see him come off. A lot of City fans were going, what the hell's going on? But when De Bruyne got taken off, I thought, bang on, Pep. That is exactly the right decision. And far from me to be the judge of or the oracle of football. But I was looking at what was happening in that game. Every time the ball came into a City player's feet, anyone who's had the hint of creation about them, who weren't composed or settled, were giving the ball away because Liverpool were pressing so well. The atmosphere, the crowd had gotten on top of so many of those City players that when you give the ball to a De Bruyne, and he's trying things, he's given the ball straight back to Liverpool and the wave of pressure's coming back. When he took him off, Kovacic in there, sat there, might have been a boring decision, but he could feel, Pep Guardiola could feel that tie was turning. Liverpool were on top, and if they'd have scored, they'd gone on probably to win that game. I think it was more important for City not to lose that game in that moment than to go on and try and win it. And taking De Bruyne off, putting Kovacic on, I thought was just a bang on decision and needed to happen. I haven't seen any of the pundits say anything yet. I haven't heard what they're going to say on Monday Night Football, but I think that's my opinion. I think they made the right decision. And Guardiola to spot that, get someone in to sit, keep the ball, do what City do so well and keep the ball, take a De Bruyne out there, because that is a really attacking threat. De Bruyne is naturally so creative. You're not going to take that out of him. Kovacic to sit in there to break up play, win the ball back, but also keep the ball, I thought was a brilliant decision. But yes, back on that game, Luis Diaz, I thought he was absolutely brilliant all game. Loved watching him play. And yeah, had to go in there. On another day, he'd have scored 2 or 3. So yeah, you can't fault him. I mean, I'm most definitely not a Liverpool fan. And as a United fan, I'm going to say this and it's going to hurt me, but I'm going to be objective. Where the hell has Wataru Endo come from? Just chilling in Japan for like 10 years, goes to Stuttgart for what, 3 or 4 years during the peak of his career. And then Jurgen Klopp drafts him in the most intense league, the most physical league, the most intense title race in probably the league's history, and goes, yeah, you're going to sit in midfield at 31 years old and you're going to be basically the equivalent to what Rodri is for City, what Rice is for Arsenal. And let's be honest, it's a backup. He didn't want him. He wanted Caicedo. But somehow he's managed to bring in a player at 31 years old who's been chilling in Japan, in Germany, at Stuttgart of all teams as well. And what a player. He's actually on the same level as, for me, Rodri has been for City this season. I'm not saying that he's a better player, but what a season Endo's having. I thought in that game at the weekend, he was unflappable. Every time the ball came in, he's composed. He uses the ball well. He gets back. He intercepts. He could tackle. He's just a smart footballer. So when I watched him come in, I'll be honest, at the start of the season, I thought that's Liverpool's title race done. I'm not having Liverpool win a title with a midfield of McAllister, Endo, and at the time was Curtis Jones. Well, Curtis Jones has been very good this season. McAllister stepped up, I think, this season as well, done really well. But the biggest surprise of all, Endo's probably been the best player. So credit to Jurgen Klopp, and as much as it hurts as a United fan, I think they've got a hell of a player, and it's a hell of a signing, and it is just so reminiscent of what Ferguson would do. To get that level of performance out of a player, a Ji-Sung Park, a Darren Fletcher, and Endo's a classic example of that. If they don't go on to win the league title, and say City do, or you know, Arsenal finish above them, and Endo maybe goes in a year or so, and people will forget about him. But for this part of the season, up until now, what a player, what a signing he's been. So yeah, really impressed with him. Talking, by the way, of Declan Rice and Rodri and all of this, I wanted to bring up something I noticed on Twitter this week, and it's absolutely despicable. It's something that actually made me really mad, and it's not from Declan Rice himself, but anyone who's on Twitter, we've all seen this, right? There's a few girls that knock about in a football shirt of choice, whoever's fans they want to target, selling their individual platforms. Shall we say, there was a picture that surfaced this week of Declan Rice with his girlfriend, and all the Twitter trolls had jumped on and, you know, remarks about her looks and stuff like that, and saying, I can't believe Declan Rice, who he is, he's with this girl, just absolutely disgusting opinions anyway, stuff that would make you mad. And it drives me nuts, because who are you to judge who Declan Rice ends up with and who he chooses to be with? Because at the end of the day, it ain't your girlfriend, it's his girlfriend. And it turns out he's been with her since childhood. They were young, grew up together before Declan Rice found his fame. And now she's stuck with him, stuck by him, he's stuck by her, and they've built a life together. And then you've got these little Twitter trolls, obviously behind the little football player avies, not even their own face on there, calling out and saying disgusting things. But even worse than that, I saw this girl. And she posted a video saying, I'm not going to play the video, but she posted a video saying, Declan Rice, I heard you need an upgrade. The audacity of a girl who is doing what she's doing and thinking that she is the upgrade in that situation. It's a horrible thing to say. It's a horrible thing to go at. And especially when she's jumping on the bandwagon, knowing that, you know, Declan Rice's girlfriend is not going to miss that. You don't miss anything these days. But it's what an advert for social media that is. Get your kids off social media, because that is just a drop in the ocean of half of the most despicable stuff you see on there. And this girl should be absolutely ashamed of herself. Go and see it, because it is a disgrace. And whether it's her idea of promotion to do it to the detriment of someone else, and it's particularly when it's in terms of their mental health, because this girl, she's done nothing wrong. She's just been sat there supporting her boyfriend, who ends up being a famous footballer, and now she's got to deal with all of you lot giving a shit because she's not what you picture a footballer to be with. She's not looking like a wag, like a normal wife or girlfriend of a footballer. Disgusting. And I thought that had to be pointed out. And hopefully plenty of people on Twitter will call out on that. The problem I had was when she posted it, barely anyone was even saying anything. They were laughing, likes, subscribes, you've just got to follow and all of this. Like, absolutely disgraceful. Hopefully that's changed over, I mean, it's only a couple of days ago, so hopefully that's changed since I've seen it. But absolutely shocking. And yeah, just another another great advert for taking your kids off social media. Why you'd let them have it, I have no idea. Why we let it legally, I don't know. Anyway, back onto football. Weekend treble time. Let's do the weekend treble. Every single week, I've been giving you three selections, three picks in the world of football that you have to trust me on at the end of the day, because I'm trying to give back to the community, the small community that listens every week, and the very, very small community that actually watches as well. Last week, we did lose. The weekend treble did lose. If you'd have been putting £10 on every week and backing my decisions, you would have been up £19. And then as of last week and then this week, 2 weeks in a row, missing by one result, you're down 87p. So it's my chance now to get you right back up. So here are my selections. First selection is Peterborough versus Portsmouth, both teams to score. Second is Notts County over 1.5 goals against Accrington. Wrexham is the third selection to beat Tranmere at home. £10 on, £49.34 back. It's a little bit of a riskier one, but it does bring us straight back up. So I think this one's a banker this week, but keep it responsible, lads. Don't be crazy. Even if you want to put a quid on it just to see how it goes, or nothing at all. How about that? I don't even back it, so why would you? At the start of the show, I promised you a fan-captured goal of the week. We've had some belters. This week, this one comes in from a Hull City fan. I couldn't find who it was because it was passed around on social media. But it's Jamie Vardy rattling home a penalty and then go. And you know what Jamie Vardy's like, giving it to the away fans. Well, this is him staring down some Hull fans. Have a look. Enjoy. I love that. I don't know why I love it, but I absolutely love a little bit of shithousery in football. Jamie Vardy is the king of it. And do you know who I actually love? Do you know who I really love? Neil Maupay. And that is probably an unpopular decision, but football has gotten too nicey-nicey. All of this in the tunnel where they're high-fiving, saying hello to each other because they're England teammates, or we used to play together at Peterborough, or we used to play together at Hull. None of that. Just pure... oh, just nastiness, needle. And it's in sport, there's nothing wrong with that. Outside of it, don't get me wrong, you know, be nice to each other. But inside it, on the pitch, any little marginal gains you can get. Look, Neil Maupay's not the greatest striker of all time, but he doesn't have to get under people's skin. And in the big games, in the big moments, that can have an effect. I love what he did to Maddison, and I love James Maddison, by the way. But I love what he did to Maddison with the celebration. I love the way he winds every single person up on the pitch every single time. He's coming out saying about celebrations. He does interviews where he doesn't hold back. And he's always at the heart of kind of everything. But I love that. And I love what Jamie Vardy does to the fans, because football fans, we're such hypocrites. We are so quick to give out and just go, yeah, you're this, you're that, saying every name in the sun. But as soon as a footballer turns around and gives it us back, we're like, hey, you can't do that. Yeah, they can. You've just rattled them for 90 minutes. If they go and score, then they're well within their rights to come and give it back. Gary Neville talked about it when that goal went in at Old Trafford. You remember the celebration where he's grabbing the badge and kissing the badge in front of the Liverpool fans? We just had dogs abuse for 90 minutes, and then they go and win in the last minute or one of the last minutes of the game. Why not? It's part of it. And as a football fan, grow up, get over it, move on, and enjoy it. It's part of it. But Neil Maupay, yeah, absolutely love that. And Jamie Vardy, absolute class. Right, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. I am going to leave you this week with a little quiz question. Not really a quiz question, but can you figure out who this player is scoring this iconic goal generated by AI? Have a look. I'll be back next week, next Wednesday, and every Wednesday until the end of the season. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week.